Welcome to Organized Chaos. Along with Rex Ryan, here's Bart Scott.
Welcome to Organized Chaos, week two, along with Rex Ryan, who will join me shortly. I'm Bart Scott. Ah, what a wild one. And chaos is what we had all day, but nothing better than the night's classic, the instant classic, the Kansas City Chiefs against the Baltimore Ravens. I tell you what, the Baltimore Ravens win 36-35. And I tell you, this was a match that went back and forth. Two great quarterbacks, two MVP quarterbacks, two young quarterbacks, big plays on both sides. And at the end, sealed with a 4th-and-1 attempt by Lamar Jackson, who was asked by Coach John Harbaugh, do you want to go? Already understanding what the answer to that was going to be. I mean, I tell you what, this was an amazing game. And I tell you what, the NFL is only getting better and better. As we had instant classic, you have to add this one to it. This was definitely the best game of the night. You talk about Lamar Jackson coming out, understanding that the Kansas City Chiefs and Mahomes were was his kryptonite. 0-3 against Kansas City, almost 72% win percentage against everybody else. And talking about defense coming up big. And, you know, I think it was about the physicality and just continue to who can withstand the blows the longest. You talk about that defense, you know, coming up big away, a young rookie adding his name to the list of outside linebacker defensive end greats. The Ravens always seem to lose a great star. You think about Judon goes on, Za'Darius Smith, Terrell Suggs, Adelius Thomas, and they just find ways to find guys that fit their system. But you also have to tip your hat to Mahomes, who came up short, but you can talk about his great performance, 343 yards, 3 touchdowns, Travis Kelce with a big night. But at the end of the day, it came down to who wanted it more, who was going to make the plays in situational football, and the Ravens came out and squeaked the win. But you have to tip your hat to Lamar Jackson. Amazing that no matter who they plug in there at running back, it doesn't matter. This Baltimore Ravens ground game just continues to flourish. You look at Lamar Jackson. Listen, you would look at the numbers, and you're not going to say, oh, wow, this is a great quarterback play. You talk about 18 for 26 for 239, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions, 1 that got came back for a house call. But when you look at Lamar Jackson, and he's not the biggest guy. He's not Cam Newton. He's not Josh Allen. He's a very slight build guy, but he doesn't take big hits. 16 carries, 107 yards. You know, during the game, it was funny, one of the stats that they had between quarterbacks that were able to get to 3,000 yards rushing, Lamar Jackson added himself to the list during this game. The sky's the limit with this young man. And listen, it's not what we're used to seeing, right? It's not Tom Brady carving people up. It's not Mahomes throwing off platform, carving people up. But I tell you what, this is one of the unique, talented players to ever play in this league. Imagine Michael Vick, and this is the evolution of Michael Vick. He's quicker, he throws the ball better, and you've got to tip your hat also to Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator, for devising a scheme that is so unique. I mean, you talk about it, right? They lose 3 of their top running backs. They sign guys off the street. You talk about Latavius Murray. You talk about Devontae Freeman. And this Williams kid has showed up, and they're still able to pound out this many yards rushing the football. That's because Lamar Jackson is the running game. He controls the backside safety. And you got unblocked players. They don't know where the blocks are coming from. This is an instant classic. I mean, I can't even catch my breath. I feel like I was playing the game. It looked like Baltimore was going to lose another tough game to Kansas City and fall 0-2. And what a difference, you know, a series makes. I mean, you know, you feel for the young kid, Charles Edwards-Helaire, who's never had a fumble in his career, to lose one at such a pivotal time. But that's why you continue to play. It looked like that Kansas City was going to be able to run the clock out. But when you go back to that 4th-and-1, I just want to focus on this for a second. You have Patrick Mahomes on the other side. John Harbaugh is saying, I cannot kick the ball back to Patty Mahomes, understanding that he has 1 timeout and 1:09 just to get into field goal range to win. They missed a 2-point conversion, so they knew that they can lose with a field goal. On your own 41-yard line, 40-yard line, you know what the narrative would have been if they would have failed for it. It would have been, why not kick the field goal? I mean, why not punt the ball and make them run down? Why would you do it? and John Harbaugh is so secure in who he is at being a head coach that he says, you know what? I'm willing to take the bullets. I'm willing to take the shots of my quarterback. My quarterback says he wants to go. And you heard Lamar Jackson, just like in Seattle, you want to go for it. He said, hell yeah. Put the ball in my hands. Let's end this game right now. What an instant classic. I tell you what, I can't wait. Up next, Rex Ryan is going to join me. We're going to continue to break down the week that was week two in the NFL. If this is what the season is going to be about, this may be one of the best seasons yet, because it seems like we don't have a grasp on who's going to be dominant, who's going to be good, as it's like a roller coaster. It's up and down. I tell you what, this is going to be great. Rex Ryan's coming up. Great finishes. Late afternoon games, organized chaos. Let's get it on.
Organized chaos.
Welcome to the second installment of Organized Chaos and Rex. Do we have some organized chaos this week, especially with the 4 o'clock games? I tell you what, man, these were some exciting endings, some clutch endings. But two of the endings that was crazy was the tale of two tales, or tale of two takes, really, when you talk about the Dallas and the Chargers game, and you talk about the difference in that outcome versus the difference in the outcome between the Arizona Cardinals and the Minnesota Vikings, man. You know, one went home lucky and happy, and one went home sad. I tell you what, we've been on both sides of these things, man. Ooh. And we always talk about kickers are real people until they miss a field goal. You say you got one damn job to do. What did you think about Zerline, a.k.a. Legzilla, coming through in a clutch in a tie game? I know, in a tie game, but he hit the big kick. And on the flip side, on the other side, they missed it in Arizona.
Yeah, Legatron or whatever he's called, Legzilla or whatever the heck his name is. That was a huge kick. I mean, when you look at it, look, I mean, first off, Dallas comes in there. They come limping in. They got injuries. They got all these type of things. For once, the Chargers are actually healthy. I thought, man, playing at home, this is going to be great. This will be a big, big victory for them. Instead, they let homeboy bust a 56-yarder over their head, all right? And it goes through. I don't care. I don't care if he's, you know, it would have been a tie game going in overtime or not. You know how clutch that kick is? 56 yards. I've seen 56-yarders get blocked and run for touchdowns the other way. So, to me, you got to be kidding. What a great kick by Zerline. And then the other side. Have we not seen Minnesota go through this heartache before? I think we did in the playoff game twice, man. One time they had the best record in football, 18-1. Guy had kick all year. And then he chokes. He swallows the whatever it was, Gary Anderson. Remember, he's like MVP of the league.
Absolutely. 15-1. That was our old friend, Brian Billick.
Absolutely. And I was hoping they lose so I could get hired by the Ravens sooner anyway. But it was great. But then, Bart, you and I have been on the sideline, man. Remember when we're playing the Colts, we got to make a field goal, and it's like last play of the game in the playoffs against Peyton Manning, is actually his last game he played for the Indianapolis Colts. Why was it his last game? Because we kicked their butts, because our kicker makes it through there. And we call him Nick, you know, it's Nick Folk. What did we call him? Remember, Bart, what we used to call him? Folk hero, man.
Hey, the folk hero is still going, man. I think he just broke a New England Patriots record, Gronkowski, that kid, for 32 consecutive men in a row. But I tell you what, let's focus on – I really want to focus on Dallas, because, listen, I thought that this was going to be a coming-out party for the Chargers. I thought the Chargers were going to announce to everybody that they were big time, that they were really a team that should be really should take notice to. Because, you know, last week I thought against Washington they did a tremendous job. We know that Herbert's, a stud. We know that he's going to be a good quarterback. But, you know, they had a great job against arguably I guess I got to ask, right? Because when you think about, are we overrating maybe the Washington football team defensive line? Because, I mean, last week you talk about last year the problem with San Diego or the Chargers. I'm sorry. All these teams changing their names, man. The Las Vegas Raiders. I got to figure this stuff out, man. There's too many new names, man. They're ingrained in my head. But when you think about last week, how stout that the Chargers look. Derwin James is back. Bosa's back. They're finally healthy, like you said. were you surprised that Dallas limped in? And not only did they come in and they were physical at the point of attack on the offensive side of the ball, you got Tony Pollard, who I think is going to emerge as the lead back in Dallas. And you got Ezekiel Elliott, you know, rushing for over 180 yards combined, Pollard with 109. You look at Zeke at 71. Were you surprised with the character that this team has really showed, that they can come in, limp in, and really with everything they're missing, hold an explosive offense like this to 17 points?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, look, I was thinking, to be honest with you, everybody was praising them for getting four takeaways against Tampa Bay the week before. I was like, there were gifts. They absolutely were gifted those. Oh, really? Well, how about today? I mean, so I got to tip my hat to Gus Bradley. They made the new defensive coordinator move. And you know what? Their players are playing a heck of a lot better. So to me, it's, you know, Gus Bradley, the dude with the from the Falcons, the head
coach. Quinn.
Yeah, they suck out of the same bottle. but Quinn comes in there and does a hell of a job. I mean, he does a hell of a job for him, and he's got that team playing with some passion, which is something that was certainly missing last year. So I give Quinn, some credit there. And for that matter, I gave Gus Bradley credit because I don't know, but I had the Raiders on my mind, and they look a hell of a lot better too. But it does show you that the impact a coach can have, a veteran coach, a former head coach you hire as a D coordinator, you can see that impact he's had on that football team. And quite honestly, I thought, like I said, I thought the Chargers were going to blow this team out. I mean, I was like, look, Herbert is going to have all the time back there he wants. He'll pick them apart. And then defensively, with the injuries that Dallas had, I thought that no way they could block Joey Bosa. And, you know, you got to give him credit. And to me, Bart, I don't know about you, but I think they're the best team in that division, which is not saying much. But to me, they look like the best team in that division.
Well, we know that Dak Prescott is big time, and, you know, we thought that maybe Jalen Hurts for a second looked like they were going to pull something off, you know, earlier today. You know, they fell short. Thank God that happened, because I don't know if you realize this, Rex, but I had my eyebrows, you know, up for grabs today, you know, because if San Francisco would have lost to Philadelphia, I was going to have to shave my eyebrows off. You know, I get emotional, right? I get emotional when people don't believe what I'm saying. So I get up there and I'm sitting on Get Up and I'm talking to D Wood. And he's telling me I'm wrong about Philly. I'm like, really? Really? Philly's going to beat San Francisco, right? And listen, I tell you what, I was sweating it out, though, Rex, because Jalen Hurts looked mobile. He was hurting them with their feet. So I'm just happy that, you know, you don't have to ask me what I'm thinking, because I'll have no emotion, because I don't have any eyebrows. So you can't tell if my eyes are going up or going down. But let's focus on the other game, right? Because the 4 o'clock game was so crazy and so intriguing, man. I tell you what, Minnesota looked like they laid an egg last week, right? They absolutely laid the egg. And lost to Cincinnati, who may be better than we think, or maybe we're not giving Cincinnati enough credit. You know, early on in the season, it's always hard to figure it out. But, I mean, for them to come back, the air raid, you know, coming out, you know, and they really came out and punched Arizona in the mouth. You know, Chandler Jones, J.J. Watt, Buda Baker, you know, all those great players that they have over there. But Minnesota comes out in the first quarter, lays 14 points on them, and then the air raid comes back in the second quarter and throws up 17. But what did you see, or what do you think about this air raid system? Because it seems like the door is always open. You know, they're able to put up points and put up a lot of yards. But with that being said, putting up all those yards, you know, Kyler Murray threw for 400 yards, Rex. And listen, he was pretty efficient too. You talk about 29 for 36. But at the end of the day, they're in a nail biter. So are you a believer in this offensive system? Or, you know, do they need to run the ball a little bit more, man? Because it's crazy, because if you somebody throws for 400 yards, you expect – that they're going to be able to be in a ball game. But like you said, when you put the ball up that many times, you know, two interceptions, something bad's going to happen.
Well, you know what? I don't believe in, like, the air raid system, because to me that was snap it as fast as you can, do those stupid little screen passes, all that type of stuff, right? That's not what they're doing right now. I am a huge believer in Kyler Murray. Like, you want to say about – we can call it air raid all we want. It has nothing to do with an air raid system. It has the fact that you have one of the greatest athletes on the field, on any field, in Kyler Murray. He is so special. He makes their pass protection look good. When they got – some of those dudes can't block me, all right? But Kyler makes it work, and he is amazing. And some of the things he does – the thing that I like, they provided him, you know, Kingsbury, with these kind of athletes. I mean, they got some really good receivers we saw that kid out of Minnesota.
Right. Yeah, Rondell Moore from Purdue, who was my little favorite. He reminds me of Percy Harvin.
Yeah, he does. Exactly. A great comparison right there. And to me, it's like, you know, that's what makes him, special. But it's this quarterback, man. He is unbelievable. And when you look at it that way, the thing that was interesting, you know, Minnesota never rolled up and died, though. Like, yeah, they came way, way in front. A lot of times we've seen it. Hell, Bart, you and I have been part of it. You get way up on somebody, and then all of a sudden the team comes back, goes in front of you, and you can't step on the gas to get back in it. Minnesota, to their credit, did. I mean, they were right in that game until homeboy missed that field goal. I mean, we'd still be playing. So they would have won the game outright.
Yeah, homeboy. Homeboy, let's speak about that homeboy. Because listen, we've all had that. Listen, Minnesota is the traveling team, and Arizona is not some short flight from Arizona to Minnesota. Like, I mean, like, if you're the kicker, you know, Greg Joseph, who missed a 37, listen, that's a bunny. Like, I mean, it's college kids that can hit field goals under that type of pressure. Like, one, you know, knowing you got to keep this guy right for the whole year, but you got to be pissed off as a coach, as a player, because all these guys lay it on the line. You know how it is. When we're playing and practicing, these guys are on there playing PlayStation. They working out, body sculpting. Like, they don't even practice the whole thing. So, like, what type of frustration? How do you have to talk to the team to make sure the guys stay together and really don't blame this guy? Because now you're 0-2 in a division where you would think that only one team is going to go to the postseason, because all four teams in the NFC West may go to the playoffs. So that's four slots right there.
Yeah, and Bart, I did a terrible job of this once. I'm coaching in Buffalo, and I had a dude that couldn't. That dude missed more kicks. I think he missed 7 extra points. And, you know, it just kills you. You're chasing points all the time. And then when you needed it, that dude would shank one. And it's like, I remember we're going to win a game in overtime, you know, give us still a snowball chance to make the playoffs. And he goes ahead and shanks it. And I'm like, I couldn't hide it, man. Like, I was bad that way. I had a tough time hiding it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, all the damn way. And the dude knew it, too. Guy knew I couldn't stand him. And, you know, it's.
Would you like to remind us, Rex, who that guy is?
Huh?
Would you like to remind us who that guy is?
I think his name was Campbell or something, man. He had long hair. He was a great kicker until I got there. So I must have done something wrong. He didn't like me or whatever, and I damn sure didn't like him, because it seemed like any time we needed a kick, he never made it for everybody else. He made it against us. Remember when he kicked for Miami? But, man, he just couldn't make it.
Oh, Carpenter. Dan Carpenter. Dan Carpenter is part of the reason that you sit here talking to me today, Rex. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate you.
Thanks a lot, Dan. And, you know, it's funny. And it really – it always – it doesn't come down to him or whatever. But, damn, it just felt like it, you know. Like, I love my kickers for the most part. And this guy was good. He was great kicker. And I don't know. He just
maybe he was a Manchurian candidate, man. I tell you what, man, that's going to be a long plane ride home, because guys are going to be sore. They're going to have, you know, they're going to be sitting there with the ice packs. They're going to have the compression sleeves on. And this dude's back there, not a hamstring hurt, not a scar on his body, not a strawberry on his elbows, nothing. So I tell you what, those are tough to swallow. It takes a mature team to keep a team together when you lose a heartbreaker like that. Because going down 0-2 is not an easy thing. Oh, man.
Hey, you know what, Bart? If we're sitting back there watching it for real, you know darn well we're sitting back thinking, that dude, he's going to play like he's asleep. No way in hell he's sleeping, but he better dang sure play like he was. Because, man, he don't want to face the music. And it is true. You do have one job to do. When everybody else is actually, you know, hurting, like hitting people, running, getting in shape, doing all that, you're sitting back there going, hey, I think I'll kick a ball. Ding, hey.
let's go. They're going golfing and still doing a whole 9 yards. But I tell you what, speaking of golfing and old people, man, Benjamin Button, a.k.a. Tom Brady, like again, right? Again, 5 touchdown passes to the Gronk. Like, I thought Gronk was slowing down when he retired and he talked about how much he hurt before. Now you look up, you know, Tom Brady throws 5 touchdown passes. Atlanta had a lot of fight in him, because I thought Atlanta after week 1 was probably the worst football team in all the NFL. But I tell you what, Matty Ice came back to his credit and did what he needed to do, had his team in the ball game. But what is this saying about Tom Brady, man? Like, Tom Brady, we thought that maybe after last week that the Saints were a great team and they could maybe push them. This week, you know, the Saints don't look so good, but terrific Tom continues to just play at a high level. Like, what do you think about Tom Brady, and how long do you really think he can play? I know he joked around about playing 50 years to playing the 50 the other day, but yeah. Man, why leave if you're going to have this type of success?
Yeah, and that's the thing, Bart. You and I both know. I mean, we could never beat these guys. Like, we could never beat Tom Brady. And that was it. They always win the dang division. We can have a hell of a football team and still not beat them, you know, because that's Tom Brady. He's that damn good. And still, at this age, 5 touchdown passes. And look, you know how hard it is to throw a 1-yard fade? And he's popping it up there like it ain't nothing. Like, hey, Mike, go ahead. I'll just pop it over to you. Like, he still got it. He got all the things. He can make the deep throws. He can make the comebacks. He can make the touch passes. He still has all of it. How long he can play, who the heck knows? No, nobody in their right mind should be playing at 44 years old and playing like he is. It's crazy. Eventually, it's going to come to an end. And when it does, I'm going to get back into coaching and win some. But it's like crazy. I don't know. And you're right. Gronk, I remember like three, four years ago, I'm like, dude's running with the piano on his back.
Right.
He looks fine. That you know, that heat.
Yeah, that's what old people, it's that Tampa, it's that Florida heat, man. I tell you what, Rex, if Tom keeps playing at this level, I know I've been fighting it, but I might give up potatoes. I might go ahead with this nightshade, man, and start going to TB12. I might have to go ahead and order me a pack because this is ridiculous.
Still drinking beer. I'm pounding some beers. But, you know, I will say this, man. When I see Matty Ice, the thing that gets me, man, you know, they do have heart. There's no question that the Falcons actually showed a little heart, which is what we never really saw the last couple of years under Dan Quinn or whatever. But I will say this. They came back. They fought. But he threw 2 pick sixes to Mike Edwards. If you had Mike Edwards in your fantasy squad, receptions, and he's on damn defense. Like, come on. Yeah, how the heck does this happen? I thought it was a replay. Nope, it's Mike Edwards again. So, and by the way, who is that monster in the middle for Tampa Bay on defense? Vita V or whatever.
Vita Vea.
Goodness gracious. I tip my hat to you, my friend, because that guy is an absolute monster in there. They can't block him. And you know, it's funny, they run a blitz.
Who does he remind you of? Does he remind you of Haloti, or do he remind you of that Pecco kid with all the alternate new universe Haloti?
Yeah, no, I mean, come on. Pecco really wasn't a player. He's a good kid, but he was never anywhere close to Haloti. That's who he reminds me of, but I think he might actually be even better if we could say it. And I love Haloti, but this dude is an absolute freak. he's a beast. I love watching him play. But to me, did you see the blitz that they have? And everybody's like, oh, they got a free runner on the quarterback. Nobody picked up the blitzing linebacker. The center was supposed to come off. I'm listening to it on TV. I go, come off. He's helping the guard out on that Vita Vea guy or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Because he's going to kill the damn quarterback. So to me, it was like a free run at the quarterback on a 5-man pressure. Where clearly everybody should have one guy. Oh, no, you got to double this guy. I don't care what the quarterback's doing back there. We're going to double the big boy in the middle. And it's so funny, but that shows you what it's like when you have a guy like that. Remember we used to set up blitzes. We put Trevor Price, knowing that, hey, he's one-on-one. Well, he's going to beat the guy so fast. Treat it like a blitz, DBs. But that's the way Tampa can do things. But big win for Tampa. And, you know, it was a close game for a while until he
threw. Yeah, it's what we expected, though. It's what we expected. I think Tom Brady is the story. But I tell you what, you talk about the 4 o'clock games, man. The game of the week, just to me, I mean, you talk about, I thought that Tennessee was dead in the water. You know, you talk about Russell Wilson letting Russ cook. He had all these offensive weapons. They finally went out and got him some help on the offensive line. Dwayne Brown is not happy, but he's there. And, I mean, King Henry, man. Like I said, what's a king to a president? I mean, what's a president to a king? What's a president to a king? And King Henry, Jamal Adams, we knew that they were on a collision course. Jamal Adams was supposed to be the Legion of Boom. They're supposed to be trying to put the boom back. I tell you what, they the Legion with no Boone, because King Henry just put up 182 yards on them, and most of that was in the second half. I mean, this was one of the most exciting games. Russell Wilson in overtime almost gets sacked, Rex, in the end zone for the safety. Tennessee gets the ball. They punt. They stop Seattle in Seattle. This is something that we're not used to seeing with the 12th man. And then all they do is come out and they get it done. Julio Jones last week was swinging at the air like Trey from Boys in the Hood. And Vrabel, reprimanded him in front of everybody, publicly said he can't do that. And all Julio does is come back and become Julio. Six catches, 128 yards. And, I mean, I tell you what, Tennessee needed this in the worst way. Tennessee goes to Seattle, Rex, and pulls out the W in overtime with a 36-yarder from Randy Bullock.
Yeah, and I'm looking at this, too. You look at it this way. Yeah, they go into overtime. Randy Bullock makes the kick, 36 yards. And why is that something? Everybody makes those. Well, the Vikings hit at 37. And Randy Bullock was just picked up this week. And he had already previously missed a kick. And by the way, who mentioned those numbers? Six catches, 128 yards. It also has a touchdown call back, which I thought was a little questionable. I'm not sure I would have made that. It looked good to me. But either way, how about Tennessee being down 24-9 at halftime? And I'm like, I can just hear all my buddies sitting back in Tennessee going, Tennessee stinks. Tennessee stinks. All right. All that kind of stuff. And then they come back, because I'd be saying the same thing. And then they come back and win that thing. I'm like, Tennessee's the greatest. No doubt at all. Those are my guys. What are you going? I know everybody else. I never doubted my butt. Everybody doubted them.
What's the craziest comeback you ever been a part of? Was it the Anthony Wright where his wife was about to give birth? We getting all sprayed up by all the Seattle thing. They used to have that sprinkler thing. We was all wet. We were drowning for a minute. Then he just came back in the second half and hooked up. I forgot that receiver he used to have. And he hooked up for like four touchdowns.
Yeah, he had four touchdowns in that game. I want to say like Robinson or something.
Robinson from Chicago. He came from Chicago, yeah.
And it was unbelievable. And we're sitting back. What I remember about that game, number one, Anthony Wrong or whatever.
A-Wrong, a.k.a. Anthony Wright.
If you can't be right, you wrong, or whatever the hell we used to say about him. He can't get right, or Anthony can't get right. But he had a day that day. And the great thing, we beat Matt Hasselbeck on that day. And Hasselbeck had the best game of his life statistically. And we still beat him. But, we talk about that one all the time. But it's just – it's funny how sometimes those games happen. And I remember even before that, we're playing Jacksonville, and same kind of deal. They got like 500 yards offense in 2000 with that record-setting defense. And Jimmy Smith literally has almost 300 yards receiving against us, a great wideout that Jacksonville had. And we came back and won that one. And here's the funny thing. The quarterback threw for 5 touchdowns. And that was the guy that we benched for Trent Dilfer.
Tony Banks.
Remember Tony Banks?
Pretty Ricky, what they call him. Look like Rick Fox.
Yeah. Winston throws 5 touchdowns and we win it. So I've been part of some good ones. And, like you say, you're in the league long enough, you'll be part of those. But this is amazing. Big guts by Tennessee to come back for sure.
So what does this do, right? You talked about the tale of two locker rooms. You've been in both of them, right? Like, what does that do for Tennessee? Like, I mean, it was a tough week for Julio. It was a tough week. They were embarrassed in week one, right? Everybody has them as maybe a Super Bowl contender, maybe a sneaky pick, because they play differently than anybody, right? You know what I mean? Not too many teams have a King Henry who's going to bludgeon you to death. You got guys making business decisions, whether you want to block them. How do you feel like this affects Tennessee versus how this affects Seattle, who Seattle has to keep pace with the Rams. He has to keep pace with Arizona. They got to keep pace with San Francisco. And you talk about, Seattle, the team that doesn't go to the playoffs in the AFC West, I mean, the NFC West, may have maybe like 11-5.
Yeah, wouldn't that be something?
But 11-6 now, because they are 12-6 or 12-5 now.
Yeah, I think when you look at it this way, Tennessee, here, the most impressive thing to me, obviously, they scored 24-9. But how did Mike Vrabel come back in that game? He gave it to the beast. He gave it to King Henry. And you're right, Bart, he had most of his yards in the second half. Wait a second. How many coaches have sit back and told you, well, the game got out of hand. We wanted to run the ball more, but the game got out of hand. They used to tell me that crap all the time. You know me, I wanted to ground and pound. Very simple. Well, Vrabel got it done. He stayed the course, stayed true to it, and that bodes so well for the team moving forward. Like, oh, really? Yeah, that's the type of team we are. We lose our left tackle before the game starts. We're down 24-9, and yet here we go on the road in Seattle, one of the toughest places by far to play, and they get it done. I think it's kudos to them, and man, the arrow's pointing out. And we knew darn well they're going to win that division. Who the hell is going to win it? Jacksonville? Like, give me a break. They're going to win it. So to me, it's that, you know, it just, they can come back, get to work, and stay with it and know that they're the team and they have the blueprint to even come back in games like that. I think is huge. Now for Seattle, on the other hand, you're just scratching your head. Like, how you can't let this thing go. And you're right. A team, Pete Carroll always loves we're going to play great defense. Really? When's it been? How long's it been since Seattle's played great defense? I think that's part of the deal
Ken Norton's been stealing for a while, man. I don't know how he's still employed. You talk about loyalty. Man, Pete Carroll's is super loyal, man, because that defense has been the Legion with no boom for a long time now.
But Kenny Norton, he probably got a left hook.
He got it out of some pops, right?
Yeah. Well, Pete doesn't want to get it. He doesn't want anything to do with that left hook. I think that's what it is.
A number of QBs went down during the 1 o'clock games, which had a tremendous impact on all the outcomes. We'll discuss that and more next on Organized Chaos.
Organized Chaos.
Welcome back to Organized Chaos. Rex, I tell you what was chaos was all these quarterbacks ending up in the infirmary. I thought I was watching an episode of MASH or Saving Private Ryan, man. You talk about Andy Dalton goes down with the knee, Carson Wentz ankle, Tua with the ribs, Tyrod Taylor just can't get right. Every time Tyrod Taylor gets the opportunity to be a starter and get some shine going on, he gets hurt, Rex, and then you know that's our guy from Baltimore. But listen, when you talk about the Bears and Andy Dalton, all the controversy, is this maybe a blessing in disguise?
I think it's a blessing in disguise, maybe for Andy Dalton too. And I hate to say it, guy gets injured, but look, he was going to get killed regardless of what happened, you know, in the media, by the fans, by everybody. And hopefully he's not too hurt. Hopefully he's fine. But in a way, he had to pass the torch to Justin Fields. I mean, there's no question he had to do it. All right. And so to me, look, obviously he would have loved to have beat the Bengals, and he'll be the quarterback of record for doing so. But to me, it's just, it's Justin Fields' team. Once a quarterback's on the field, when you bring a guy in, a young guy like that, that's usually it for the veteran. So I expect Fields to take over from now. Again, I hope all these guys are healthy. They all get back, but I have a feeling Andy Dalton will be the only one that won't get his job back.
You know what's interesting, though, Rex, when you talk about the Bears? What makes the Bears such an interesting team is not only do they finally get their young prodigy or young prospect, you know, to start, and they get the W, they get the victory, so everybody in Chicago's happy. But I tell you what, man, the Bears have a piece, a trade chip, that all these other teams may want to give up some equity for. Because, I mean, if you're one of these teams like Miami, you're saying, hey, you know, well, they got Jacoby Brissett. He looked like crap, right? But you think about with all these quarterbacks going down, starting quarterbacks going down, Carson Wentz going down. I mean, Nick Foles, right, seems like the most popular guy, right? He's like the pretty girl in the room now, right? So if you're the Bears, do you continue to hold on? Or do you try and dangle Nick Foles out there to see if somebody will bite, just because he can be a bridge quarterback, just good enough to kind of keep your team in it?
Well, I think first off, they got to find out about Andy Dalton. Is he going to be healthy enough to be your backup? If he's not, then they're certainly not going to trade Nick Foles away, because they're going to need a backup quarterback too. So if Andy Dalton's healthy, then yeah, they can go ahead and shop him. But again, I think they were shopping him already and they couldn't get any takers. And so to me, I get it. There's been a lot of guys hurt and things, but we know who he is. Nick Foles is a backup quarterback. Every time he's thrust into that starting job, outside of one unbelievable thing, and I think God had something to do with that well as he did, like, I'm sorry. He's a backup now, and
right. But does Nick Foles have you right where you want him? Right. Like I said, Nick Foles is like wine. He's good in moderation. And if he comes in now, he's a backup and he's in moderation, because you expect none of these guys, Tua with the ribs or Tyrod with the hamstring, we don't think that they're done. You know, but a lot of these guys go out, can come back. But, you know,
fine, Bart. You know what I mean? So I don't like all these backup quarterbacks get all the love and all that type of stuff. They come in for whatever. Oh, you know, everybody cheers for the backups. I don't. There's a reason to back up. So to me, I'm not, I hope he doesn't play. I remember the best thing about some of these guys, like who's tired of seeing all these backups have to come into games? And we're looking in the program. Who the hell is this? I thought Nate Peterman was going to have to come in the game. Oh my God. That's a dude that threw 5 interceptions and a half, so looking at that type of things. Oh, and Nick Mullins, Nick Mullins ain't playing in the league. But how many times will we see him on primetime, quarterback of the nine or something like Nick
Jeff Mullins, Driscoll?
Who the hell is him? Driscoll, all those guys. No, we don't backups. We've got to get these guys back healthy, and hopefully they'll be back sooner than later. I don't think Tyrod's, obviously, they play Thursday night, Bart. There's no way he's coming back from a hamstring.
You know what I'm saying, Rex? So the crazy thing is, right? Yeah, I think because the extra game, it's going to be a battle of attrition, man, because these guys don't hit. They don't take hits in practice. Guys are going to continue to go down at a tremendous clip. So it's going to be a battle of attrition, man. And you talk about Tyrod telling you, talk about, them playing on a short week. Guess who they're playing against on a short week, Rex? They're playing your Panthers on a short week with Sam Darnold, who has his team undefeated. Yes, Sam Darnold. And Rex, are you willing to apologize or ready to accept that Sam Darnold is a franchise quarterback? The Jets were just too dysfunctional to put a team around him. And this kid is what we thought he was going to be when he was drafted by the Jets, 3rd overall or 6th overall. I mean, it doesn't even matter, because they dominated. They dominated the New Orleans Saints, who we thought was ready for big time, football.
Not willing to do it. And look, he's going to have a great game against, the Texans. He's going to go 3-0, and good for Sam Darnold. But no, they won because of their defense. Their defense has been lights out. And so to me, that's why they're winning. And look, that Burns kid, all those guys, like they have some guys that can play. And,
Rex, he threw for 300 yards.
I can throw for those yards if I'm throwing the ball to Christian McCaffrey all the time. It's Darnold, and quite honestly, because I'm pissed, because I wanted the Jets, to take the dude out in Buffalo and Josh Allen, and we wouldn't be having this conversation. But to me, Sam Darnold, I'm still not. He's going to have to prove it to me more in these couple of games, Bart.
Is he winning you over just a little bit? Are you happy that he's having success?
I flinched a little. I'll admit, I flinched a little.
Okay, because I ain't want to break up your son, Danny Dimes. I don't know.
And I sat back, I read the stats on him, and I'm like, by gosh, I'm giving up on my son. I love my son, but I'm giving up on him. I gave up on my son, Mark Sanchez. And the dude, all Daniel Jones goes out, he's the exact player I said he was for 3 or 4 years, whatever it is. That's the guy I've been telling you about. And now as soon as I call him out, he plays the game like he does. And I'm sitting back going, damn, I'm trying to cheer against my guy now. because I sat back, I was on Get Up, and I said, I'm done with him. And then, of course, the New York paper said, Rex is done with Daniel Jones. And I said, I love him, but he got to protect the football. And when he does, he's good. And they actually tried to protect him this week. So, but who cares?
Something unique something unique in that game, right? I think I don't know if it was a fair fight, because the Saints had to play and coach without 8 of their assistants. And a lot of times you only know the head coach, the defensive coordinator, and the offensive coordinator, maybe the special team coach. But a lot of position coaches, it's a lot of coaches on staffs. How hard is and how difficult is it for you to coach a game without 8 of your assistants?
Yeah, I mean, if I can hand choose them, I don't want that dude, this guy. But, that's so difficult, man. There's a reason why these guys are on your staff. everybody's assigned certain jobs, and now it's not getting done. It's being pushed into somebody else's thing. So your attention to detail that you have in situational football, different type of things, isn't quite there. But I'm going to tell you something about that game that's way under the radar. All right? No Lattimore, the corner at New Orleans. They're a different defense without him. Mm. It's like us, Bart, without Revis. You know, he can't hold his jock, but it's kind of like that. You know what I'm saying? As soon as Revis went down, our whole season went like, whoop, we're down in the toilet, you know, trying to, we're still scratching. And
it was like, it was like Burger King. It was like Burger King for receivers. You can have it your way. Who want to catch?
That's exactly right. Like, you know, we kept competing. We kept doing those things. I mean, we had a terrible year. We probably finished fifth in the league in defense. Something that you and I do. We always were the best defense in the league. But Revis, to me, that's what they're missing. When Lattimore went out, it's almost like New Orleans ain't the same D without that kid.
Well, I'll tell you what, he's definitely worth his weight in gold when you think about the extension that they gave him. The surpriser of the day, right? And listen, this pains me because they beat our Ravens, and the Ravens should have won the game three times on Monday Night Football. But the shocker of the week also has to be, and when you look a little closer at it, the Raiders, you know, it seems like they have the Steelers number. Right. And are we ready? Are we ready to kind of start saying, hey, Derek Carr is elite? Is John Gruden ready to embrace Derek Carr and say, listen, you're my quarterback? I know he's coming close to the end of his contract. And it always seems like, you know, like John Gruden is not happy. Like, you know, it's like when you date a girl and she's been with you for so long, but you like, man, you cool. But I walk around so many people. I see all these cute women around me and I really want to be with them. Yeah, do you think the John Gruden should finally embrace Derek Carr, give him a long-term contract, and make him the long-term solution?
Well, yeah, he should have done that from jump. But here's the thing. Gruden does that. I remember Mike Pettine, who coached with us all the time. He goes, mm-hmm. The secret to success, know who to blame. Can't be him. He's a genius. You know, so I think that's part of it. But to your point, man, the Raiders, like, are you kidding me? If you're going to say, who are the two baddest defenses in the league that you don't want to play against to open the season? Oh, here you go. How you're going to play Baltimore, and then you're going to go at Pittsburgh and play Pittsburgh. And Derek Carr, all he's done is throw for 817 yards in two games. So, yes, if he's not willing to say it, my gosh, I'm willing to say it. Derek Carr is legit. And it's I tell you what, and I started the show by praising the hell out of Gus Bradley, and I was so impressed with him. I praised him for being with Dallas as well before I corrected him. But he's done a real nice job with the Raiders defense. I mean, look, they ain't the 85 Bears or the Ravens, but I'm telling you, they're playing much better, playing with way more passion. And before, where they would get 500 yards, the offense has never been their problem. Right. They get 500 yards, still lose a game. You know, give up 600. So I'll give it to them. They're being more of a team. They're playing more as, you know, both units are having each other's back. They pick each other up. And that's what the mark of a good team is. And the Raiders are certainly in it. Last year, I thought it was a way better football team than people thought. And as soon as I made that comment, they went down the toilet. But this year, starting off 2-0 with the schedule they've had against the Steelers and Ravens, my goodness. I mean, this team, you know, whether Kansas City's, you know, nervous or not, everybody should take notice that, hey, this is a pretty darn good football team.
I mean, they figured out how to come from the West Coast to the East Coast. We know how difficult that coast-to-coast travel can be. But the team that I really want to focus on, man, I'm telling you, the Buffalo Bills, like, showed us that it's them and it's everybody else. And I'm including the New England Patriots because even though in the win, New England didn't impress me. Zach Wilson, again, he did something that's never been done in 40 years of the Jets. It's since 40 years. And that's hard to do, to break bad records for the Jets. But he broke one. He threw four interceptions in one game. One, should the Jets get a damn backup in there that they can bench? I'm surprised that Josh Johnson wasn't there so that you can tell the kid, listen, this ain't your day. Come sit down, because this defense was still in the game for most of the game. And this dude just kept throwing hand grenades up there, just throwing it to anybody, man.
Hey, Bart, I can't believe that's a record. Because remember, we played Buffalo our first year together with the Jets. I could have swore we threw six interceptions in that game.
Was it? Maybe it was six turnovers, but this was four interceptions.
Okay, because I mean, it sure felt like it. You know, we had whiplash from it. And the funny thing is, we got beat in overtime that game.
I remember that. That's when we lost Chris Jenkins.
In this thing. And we should have won it. We go to kick a damn field goal. And then Weatherford, he throws a pick. Our holder for the field goal, he throws a pick instead of kicking a thing, a game winner. So, you know, golly. Thanks for bringing back those bad memories.
Yeah, I'm picking scabs today, Rex. I'm picking scabs today. But the Bills look dominant.
Huh?
The Bills look dominant, and they look like it's them. I mean, we thought that Miami, because they beat the Patriots last week, we thought that they were legit. Tua gets hurt like he always does, but it just looks like the Bills are on a totally different level, and it's not even going to be close within this division.
Yeah, I never thought the Dolphins were legit. They beat New England. Who cares? The New England doesn't have Tom Brady. That's a different team. That means you're not going to the playoffs, and you're a different football team. By the way, New England plays the same defense the Dolphins do. They got beat 35-0. All right. So to me, who the hell is the dominant team? You're absolutely right. It's the Buffalo Bills. Here's the crazy thing. They almost had a 100-yard rusher today. All right. They gave the ball to that Singletary kid. He looked good. And then I think he had like 82 yards rushing. I'm like, hey, the Bills can run the ball. They just always choose not to. But Josh Allen, to me, still proved in this game, he proved I'm the best red zone quarterback in the league, just like last year. Nothing's changed. Josh Allen is still the man.
Rex, here's the record. I'm sorry. Here's the record. Zach Wilson, he threw three interceptions in his first five pass attempts. Like, so somebody was catching. It was completed to somebody. We just didn't know who.
Yeah, not exactly a hot start there, Bart.
I tell you what, but let's talk about the RELAX relax game, relax again with Aaron. We talk about Monday Night Football versus the Detroit Lions, aka the Detroit Lions used to be homecoming, right? That was a game you circled that you got your Pro Bowl stats going on, you get your stats, you get your sacks, you get a nice little fluffy cushion. But they showed a lot coming back and fighting and scrapping. I know the coach said, hey, we're going to get back up. I wish they wouldn't get knocked down so damn much. But how do you see this one going when you talk about Aaron in a not a must win, but a pivotal game to kind of get people around Green Bay to relax with all the soap opera drama that he provided for the Green Bay Packers, in the offseason?
I'm going to tell you this, Bart. If they don't get this one, oh my God. Hey, he can spell out relax all you want, but there's going to be panic. Win this one. Look, Detroit is so outgunned right now. We all know it. Everybody, fans of Detroit. But here's what I love about Detroit. They back that football team and know that, hey, you know what? I got to believe in them again. They're going to build this thing up the right way. Dan Campbell, one thing I'm going to tell you, what I noticed after week one, that team played exactly how they said they were going to. We're going to get knocked down. We're going to get back up. We're going to get knocked down, get right back up. He's going to get knocked down again like Glass Joe used to. But at the end of the game, they're biting kneecaps. They are competing their butts off, and that's what you're going to see from this team. Look, yes, should this be a complete butt-whipping by the Packers? It should be, but it won't be because I think the Lions got some heart. They got some juice with this new coaching staff, and to me, I think it's going to be a better game than people think, only because of the heart that the passion that this team's playing with now. So we'll see. I hope Detroit wins. It would be
it'd be so great for us on TV and radio, right? But I tell you what, let's take a look ahead to our way too early picks, man. We talk about week three in the NFL. We got some primetime games. We got the Panthers and Texans. Who you got?
Well, I'm going to take the Panthers because your guy, Sam Darnold. No, I'm taking the Panthers because they have Christian McCaffrey, a hell of a defense, and the Texans will be without Tyrod Taylor. So absolutely going to take the Panthers in that one, Bart.
All right, so we got the Packers versus at the Niners on a short week. The Niners usually always out-physical Green Bay with that new-look defense and Joe Barry. Let's see, who you got between the Packers and the 49ers?
Yeah, I'm not a big believer of Joe Barry and that new-look defense right now. So, you know what? At the 49ers, I think it's going to be a good game. But you know what? Here's the thing that bothers me about the 49ers. Where's George Kittle at? They don't even throw him the ball anymore. Like, if they're going to beat the Packers, they're not going to beat them outside, all right? Because they got that Jair Alexander,
yeah.
You better get George Kittle involved. And for some reason, he seems to be missing in action. But if he's healthy or whatever, get him involved, and you'll have a hell of a chance. But that's going to be a great game. That Sunday night game is going to be an awesome game next week.
All right, the NFC least battle for supremacy, both coming in 1-1, the Eagles and America's team, according to the people, the Cowboys.
Yeah, this one right here, man, it's like, I mean, it's a pillow fight. What are you going to say? You know it's going to be a pillow fight. But I actually think the Cowboys' defense is playing a lot better than they did. I do like that intermediate passing attack that Nick Sirianni has with this Eagle team. And this is going to be a heck of a football game. I truly believe that. And because I just remember when he was with the Chargers. He was with the Chargers as a coach and a – to me, they always had a great plan against Dallas. They used to wear them out. I remember the Chargers wearing out Dallas on a Thursday night back when the Cowboys were supposed to be able to play defense. So to me, I think you got to be careful in this one. They're going to play that cover three scheme. The Eagles will have an answer for it. So I think it's going to be a pretty good game. And my dad would roll over in his grave if I took Dallas. So I'll take the Eagles in that one.
I tell you what, I kind of like the Eagles too, man. I think we talk about Dallas offensive line and all that they bring. I think what's really underrated that Andre Dillard is on the market because they found this kid, Jordan Mailata. They got Kelce, they got Brooks, they got Lane Johnson. They may be the one in that division with the best offensive line. You know about the two tight ends, and they have two young studs outside at receiver. So it's going to be interesting, man. I tell you what, Rex, it's always a pleasure. I'm Bart Scott. He's Rex Ryan. This is Organized Chaos Podcast. Rex and I'll be dropping new podcasts each and every week of the NFL season, all the way up to the Super Bowl. You could also catch me weekdays from 12 to 3 on Bart and Hahn and Rex on Get Up Countdown every Sunday. Get Up. Thanks for listening, Rex. It's been a pleasure, man. See you next week.
Same to you, Bart.
Thanks for listening to Organized Chaos. Check back for new episodes every Monday morning all season long, wherever you get your podcasts.